Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Reconnect My Heart Podcast, the show that we talk about life's problems that may break or tear a heart's apart. On Reconnect My Heart, we discuss God's answers to life's problems to reconnect our hearts back to the way He originally made us. I'm your host, Brother Prado. I'm so glad y'all are able to join us. If you have any questions, comments, if you just want to listen to the show, feel free to call me at 516-453-9118. That's 516-453-9118. Or you can listen to Blog Talk Radio. Also, any podcast platforms we are on there, just type in Reconnect My Heart Podcast. That's like connect, but put R-E, reconnect. Reconnect My Heart Podcast.com. As well as, if you want to see the video version of Reconnect My Heart, you can go to ReconnectMyHeartPodcast.com. You will see the video version of our podcast. I want to say hello to everyone. I thank y'all so much for for y'all continue prayers and support. Unfortunately, within the past 2 weeks, there's been some glitch going on our audio podcast, so I apologize. I'm going to see what they can do to make sure that it doesn't happen again. There's something wrong with the distribution of the podcast. That was the past 2 weeks, but I thank God today we got it running, so I'm on all the platforms today. But today, this is on my heart. And excuse me, I have a little cold. But today it was on my heart to talk about this. Fight in spite of fear. Fight in spite of fear. First of all, just simply put, excuse me, let me get some water. Okay. Right when I started talking, that's when I started getting this itchy throat. It was on my heart a couple of minutes ago to talk about fighting in spite of fear. One of the things I found out, right when you make up your mind to do something, the devil gonna try to do something to either sabotage, to try to place some type of fear, some type of abandonment, some type of rejection, some type of pain. He gonna try to bring something to the table to discourage you from fighting. One of the things I always talk about, for those that have seen the show, I always talk about when I get ready to give a message, oftentimes the devil gonna try to do some type of tactic to try to bring fear. For example, if I'm going to be speaking on Sunday, what he'll do on that Monday before, I may go to work, I may get on the elevator, and the elevator drops, or I get stuck in the elevator. It happens. It happens. It hasn't happened lately, but for a period, it lasted for about a year or two. It was like the same pattern. It may be a time where I'm driving and the devil would try to bring somebody to try to hit me or run me off the road. It's something that may happen and it's leading up to me giving a message. It always happens. And I found out the devil gonna try to do whatever he can to prevent the message from going forward. But not only the message from going forth, but the messenger from going forth. You are a messenger. God has given you an assignment, a task, a gift, a purpose, and a calling in your life. But the devil tries so badly to make you fearful of some sort. The devil may try to bring some type of rejection. It may be someone that you have trusted, someone that you looked up to, and all of a sudden, when you get ready to prepare for this important task, all of a sudden, now they don't want to fool with you. Have you done nothing wrong? All of a sudden, this person, well, they want to leave you alone. It may be some type of rejection, some type of abandonment, some type of pain that may happen. The devil gonna try to do whatever he can to get you right here or right here in your heart. Here in your head or here in your heart. He gonna try to do something. See, if the devil can't stop you physically, he feel like, look, if he can't rid you physically, he can try to get you mentally or emotionally. And don't you know that's one of the tricks that he often win with us in? What do I mean? If he can't stop us physically, he would try to bring some type of discourage us to make us slow down, to make us not cross over the finish line of life. He's going to try to do something. But the most important thing we got to realize, who he is. We got to recognize the devil. We got to recognize the devil and his antics. But also, yes, recognize the devil and his game, but also knowing who you are and knowing whose you are. I kept hearing in my spirit, God did not give us the spirit of fear, not timidness, but power of love and sound mind. But also the other scripture that was on my heart that I was thinking about a couple of minutes ago. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So in other words, he's walking. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. First of all, a shadow is a dark place. So sometimes in the midst of us walking in dark places, we got to recognize that we have the power to overcome the fear, but also anything that's attached to fear. Because when you've been abandoned, now you're scared to feel alone. You're scared to be alone. When you have dealt with rejection, because you've been so used to being with folks, now the devil can try to make you feel that you can't do it by yourself. But actually, think about this. Even if you are by yourself, you're not really by yourself. Because sometimes the people that abandon us, that gives God room for him to dispatch people that's going to be there by our side. Matter of fact, I always think about this song. I mentioned it the other day. But the song Through the Fire, Chaka Khan. But also, even the song, it says Never Alone. I don't have to worry because I'm never alone. That's the old gospel song, but some of the lyrics, it says, he walks beside me every day. He guides my footsteps every way. So when we realize who we are and whose we are, in spite of who leave us, in spite of who abandon us, in spite of who walk away from us, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Also, knowing as long as we got King Jesus on our side, that's more than enough for us to accomplish the task at hand. But yes, thing for you to remember, yes, sometimes you have to fight even while you're scared. You know, I was watching some of the interviews of Iron Mike Tyson. Iron Mike Tyson, that joker, this is in his heyday. They were showing old clips of him. And matter of fact, when you saw him, matter of fact, it was a video I saw actually a couple of hours ago. And I believe it was his first match right after he got out of prison. And he was fighting some guy that was just bumping his gum, saying, oh, he going to knock him out and everything. Man, I wish I could show y'all the interview. And during the press conference, the guy said, he going to knock him out. This, and you kind of see Iron Mike Tyson kind of, you know, like, really. And then when it came down for the fight, all of a sudden, while they were in the ring, the guy was just smiling, and Iron Mike Tyson, every move that his opponent was making, he was just watching him. He was just watching him with his eyes, was just staring him down. And that dude, look here, that dude didn't have a chance. But in a lot of the early bouts of Iron Mike Tyson, he was fearless. He appeared fearless. He always said that he imagined having his fist go through their chest. But when you begin to listen to the interview of him dissecting the fights, you know what he was saying? A lot of time in some of the fights, he was scared. But you couldn't tell by watching him. The thing is, in spite of how he felt, he had to override his feelings with his faith. But also, along with his faith, you know what helped him to have the faith that he had? Preparation. He was prepared. He fought. He was prepared. He trained. He was prepared. He was disciplined. He was prepared. So in the midst of us getting ready to go to war or getting ready to do our task, fulfill our purpose, do whatever that we're supposed to be doing, the question is, are we prepared? Don't you know the devil does not want you to achieve what God has for you? He doesn't. See, a lot of times people just think that, well, you know, we can have God as this hocus pocus genie that would do it for us. You know, you don't even worry about it. God got this. Okay, you saying God got this? Are you giving God the things he needs or the ingredients he needs to get this? One of the things I always tell people, God will not respond to your tears. He will respond to your sweat. God is not moved by your tears. He's moved by your sweat. See, a lot of times we think that it's just going to be handed to us. But you know what? It's about that sweat equity. When we know what God has for us, yes, we need to go ahead and achieve it. You know, one of the things I always say, God won't put it in your hand, but he'll put it within your reach. That old saying, a song that says, if you make one step, he'll make two. God has given us the skills and the ability to achieve whatever. There are some people, yes, there are some people that are so gifted, they were born with the natural gift of playing or whatever, playing the piano, whatever. But even with those who are skilled, they still have some type of form of training to capitalize on their initial foundation. But with that, are you being a good steward of what God has invested into you? You know, it's so important for us to recognize that, like I said, the devil does not want us to achieve what God has for us. So what you have to do, you have to know and study what God is telling you to do. We got to do our part. And let's be honest, a lot of us, we're not really literate in what we're aspiring to have. We got to do some form of training. We can't expect people to tell us, no, we got to put in our own work. What I found out, when you rely upon other people, I know from firsthand experience, if I tell y'all some of the stuff, I will have y'all here till the resurrection shows up. But I want to tell you, a lot of times we expect people to give us some information on what I found out. Certain people will only give us what they want us to have. So God is requiring us to seek him and for us to do our part so that way we can receive the information fresh off the press. God wants to give you the information. God has invested into you the skill, the ability to do it. But are you relying upon somebody else to do it for you or somebody else to give you the information? Or are you relying upon God? I'm telling you, the worst thing you can do is rely upon folks. I'm telling you. Now, yes, I know I always say this. Yeah, God has us to be able to be in relationships with people. You know, but what you have to do, you have to consult God pertaining to who's assigned to help you. Asking God, even if you choose someone, asking God to give you the spirit of discernment to see if they are qualified. Because what I found out, yes, as the fight get ready to happen, you be ready for the fight, but the person you chose may tuck tail and run. I found that out. There are some people, they have the spirit of fight or flight. Don't you know there are some people that are compromised with the devil so that way they won't have to fight? But do you have that person on your team? So you have to ask yourself, does this person, can they handle that old saying, can you handle the storm? You know, I think about even within marriages, we always say, it says, well, for better or for worse. For better or for worse. There are some people now, they take that out of the vows. Some people, they don't even want that mentioned. They don't even want that mentioned in the vows. For better, for worse? Yeah, for better, yes. But for worse? No, no, no. I'm not going to receive that. Sometimes there are things called life that happens. And you want to make sure that you have somebody that will stand by your side. What I found out, the devil gonna try to fight. you're never going to try to fight. But are you a fighter as well? Something you have to think about. Are you ready to take on the task at hand? Are you willing? Like I said, the things that God has for us, yeah. Yeah, we got victory. We can receive victory. Thing is, you think the devil going to just automatically hand it to us? Like I said, it may take everything in us. But the thing is, victory is rightfully ours if we fight. It may be a physical fight, but most importantly, it is a spiritual fight. We have the power and authority to fight for victory. When I go into a match, I'm not going in for a draw. The devil is a lie. I'm not going in being defeated either. No, I'm not going to receive defeat. But also, I'm going in with victory and for victory, but also recognizing that I'm operating within victory. And when I leave out the ring, I'm not going to look like I've been in a fight. You think about the Hebrew boys, when they were in a fiery furnace. You think about they went in. First of all, they turned up the heat on them guys. The fire was so hot that the guys or the guards that put in the Hebrew boys, they got burnt up too. Look, they got burnt up. But the Hebrew boys that went in, they went in. Three went in. But when they looked in, when they said, wait a minute, it looked like four in there. Didn't you put three in there? Well, I see four, and the fourth one looked like the Son of God. And get this, when the three Hebrew boys came out, there was nothing burnt on them. They didn't smell like or resemble the environment that they were in. Number one, they were prepared. They were in worship. They were in obedience to God. But also, one of the things I found out, yes, the devil going to try to put us in a fiery furnace. But don't you know, just like the three Hebrew boys, when they went in, they were in a fiery furnace. And that fourth one in there, the one like the Son of God, yes, he was in there with them. But when they took the three Hebrew boys out, the fourth man, the Son of God, even though they took out three, their fourth one still remained. That way, if something happened when you get into the fiery furnace, the Son of God is already in there for you. And he can protect you just like the three Hebrew boys. And if he can take care of three in the fiery furnace, he can take care of one in the fiery furnace. In case you're going through the fiery furnace of your life, don't be intimidated. Don't allow anything or anybody you put fear upon you. Remember, fear did not come from God. Fear is not an inside source. It's an outside source. Oftentimes, the devil tries to bring fear upon us based on what we physically see. In other words, with our physical senses. But we have to know who we are and whose we are. And understand, if we feed ourselves in a spiritual manner, then it'll override what our physical senses recognize. We can overcome whatever the devil tries to put forth. I want to encourage you, yes, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, don't fear any evil. Like I said, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. There's spiritual wickedness in high places. But understand, we have to arm ourselves. We have to arm ourselves, not just physically, yes, but spiritually. We have to know God's word. We have to say God's word, because if you think about it, God's word was victorious in the very beginning. So how about we use his word that was already proven to be victorious, because our words will fail. Our word means nothing if it does not line up with God's word. So if I know God's word is victorious, why should I have to think of something to say when God's word is already proven and we can recite not only what God's word says, but we can demonstrate what God's word says by the way we live. So we can say what God's word says and speak those things as so they were. But also, what we have to understand, what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. In other words, say what you mean and mean what you say. In other words, God asks you, what do you want? What do you want? God is waiting on you. We say, but God, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Oftentimes, God waiting on us. God waiting on us. I found out that there's a no, there's a yes, and there's a not yet. Sometimes, no, not yet is for our benefit. So what we have to recognize, when the devil trying to throw these games, when the devil trying to do certain things, okay, we're going to go into prayer. I think about, and this is my favorite scripture right here, I think about Mark 9:29, but some things come by prayer and fasting. When they were trying to cast out this evil spirit in this little boy, and the disciples couldn't do it, and then all of a sudden, when Jesus did it, the spirit left. Why? Because they were not dealing with a physical situation. They were dealing with a demonic spirit. So what we have to do, we have to recognize the things in the spiritual realm. We got to look at things from the spiritual lens, not the physical lens. And what I say all the time, even when we recognize within the spirit, understand, if we recognize things within the spiritual realm, we can recognize fear, which is a spirit also. Fear. Fear is a spirit. Rejection is a spirit. Yes, someone may physically reject us, but the spirit of rejection is there to suppress you because of the result of a physical rejection. Just because somebody physically leave us does not mean they have does it mean that it have to emotionally make us feel that particular rejection or abandonment. Just because somebody rejects us doesn't mean that we have to feel abandoned. No. Imagine that person that's been harassing you. They've been dealing with you. They've been bugging you. They've been trying to bully you. But then all of a sudden that bully abandons you. How does that make you feel? It makes you feel great. So all abandonment ain't bad. All abandonment ain't bad. It's our perspective, because if a bully leave us alone, that's a good thing. We're relieved. But sometimes we look at, oh my gosh, I never thought this person would do me like that. I never thought, look here, I tell people all the time, and I'm just keeping it real. When you recognize people for who they are, it won't surprise you. You have to recognize who that person is. When you recognize who they are, especially watching them in the spiritual realm, it don't surprise you. You got to accept that's how they are, and that's who they are. Maya Angelou once said, when a person show you who they are, believe them. But when a person show you who they are, we stay in denial. Well, you know, that person got a good heart. Look at them for who they are. They're a nutcase. They're a fool. See, also, you got to look at how they treat you, but also how they treat other people. You want to know how a person really is? Watch how they treat people that they don't need. Watch how they treat people that they not, you know, have a need for. I'm telling you, when a person don't need somebody, sometimes they might, you know, they might act, you know, almighty. They might act like, oh. Or they might say, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Hey, you doing all right? See, when a person don't need somebody, then they'll demonstrate their true character. But as long as they find out, I'm sorry, how you doing? You doing all right? And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say it like my sister used to say. I can't do fake. When I know a person is, if I know a snake, If I see the spirit of a snake, with somebody, I'm like, okay, Lord, thank you. Because I know how to deal with them. I deal with them accordingly. Yeah. And so with that, we have to fight. We got to be able to, we got to be ready to fight. And when I say fight, now, I'm not talking about going up there like, you know, beating up somebody. I'm not speaking about that. I want you to understand. First of all, I hope y'all know my character. But also, I want you to understand from the spirit realm, when you recognize things, when you recognize when God has a purpose and assignment for you, don't be surprised when the devil try anything possible to stop you or discourage you. You got to be ready to fight in spite of how you feel. You may not feel your best. You may not want to be about, look here, I'm going to say this. There's been many times I've ministered. I didn't feel like doing it. I didn't feel like, but I know the mandate that God has on my life. And the mandate that God has on my life is greater than my hurt, my pain, or my frustration. See, what I found out, when you do what God has you to do, in spite of how you feel physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, you're giving God your best. You're giving God all you can. And when you give God all you can, look here, that form of worship, when you give God, when you praise God in the midst of your hurt, in the midst of your frustration, in the midst of your loneliness, in the midst of you dealing with a divorce, in the midst of you dealing with child custody, in the midst of you losing your job, in the midst of you dealing with your health crisis, in the midst of all these things, you are proving the devil wrong. You got to look at just like Job. The devil tried so badly to accuse Job of trying to worship God only because of what he can get out of the deal. Well, think about what the devil told God about you. Have you considered? See, Sister So-and-so, oh, you know, she just served you because, you know, you bless her with a husband. Or you just, because of this, because of that. But I'm telling you, you'd be surprised if you heard the conversation, not just what the devil said about you, but even your enemy said about you, would you stop? Would you get discouraged? Would you keep yourself locked up in your bedroom crying all day? No, sometimes, yeah, there are things that can be so hurtful. But as you wipe your tears, you still pick up and wipe your eyebrows with your sweat. You, look here, you can be working and still wipe your tears. Don't let anything or anybody stop you from fulfilling the purpose and plan God has for you. Matter of fact, you showing God that you trust him. If you can continue to serve God and do what God tells you to do, in spite of everything that's going on, you do the assignment that God has for you, in spite of, look here, I'm telling you from firsthand experience, the devil cannot win when you give it all you can in spite of how you feel. You cannot go on how you feel. You can't go on, well, you know, I'll go if my husband go with me. I'll go if my wife go with you. Sometimes you got to go alone. Now, there are some people, yeah. But I found that crisis reveal people's character. So that's why it's so important for you to stay focused on God. Don't rely upon people, because sometimes people will fail you. Sometimes people will disappoint you. Sometimes people will surprise you. And like I say, some people can be wrong. And it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter who they are, what position that they have. Because even in their best attempt, yeah, they could be looking at who you are based upon the relationship with you, but fail to recognize who you are based on your relationship with God. Some people can be wrong, but you still love them. You still love them. That doesn't mean that you have to trust them. But you still love them. You still, hey, go on. Keep your spirit clear and keep on bouncing. And so with that, I want you to be encouraged. No matter what may come or go, you keep your eyes on Christ. You keep your eyes on Christ. I want you to know, yes, weeping may endure but a night, but joy comes in the morning. And sometimes that morning comes after you rest. Sometimes the devil tries so badly to make you stay up and worry and stress and all that stuff. But you know what? If God answered our prayers in the midst of us worrying, then that means we worried for nothing. And yeah, there are some things that happen. Like I said, we don't know everything. Yeah, I don't know everything. But I'm going to tell you something. I serve a God who knows everything. So my thing is, yeah, we're going to rely upon him. He knows the answers. He knows the intels and the details of life. And also, I'm going to tell you this. I always tell people, make sure that you consult God about everything, because there are some people, they ain't listening to you. They just tell you stuff just for you to get out their face. There are some people, they say stuff, they don't, look here, they just saying things because it's so repetitive for them to say this and that to anybody. But look here, God can give a tailor-made word for your tailor-made situation. Look, I don't need God to give me something fresh off the press. I don't want no generic message. I want God, look here, God, I got this situation. And I know God can move. Like, we always talk about all the time. We got history with God. God has a track record with us. So when you look at his track record, he have answered and gave specific prayers. He have answered specific prayers. So if God can have answered specific prayers, why are we waiting on a general thing? No. Tell God, look here. I got this going on. I got this going on. Because if I need me a car, and I tell God, I need me a car, all of a sudden, here comes somebody that's pulling out this car from the wrecker. No motor, no tires, no transmission. And they say, hey, you want this scrap? Hey, I did pray for a car. But when you tell God, look here, God, I got this thing going on. I'm having problems at work. They ignore me. I'm being bullied. I've got this going on. I got that going on. God, I need you to show yourself strong. God, help me to recognize how to deal with this. And also, I'm telling people from firsthand experience, God can answer you, and it don't take long. I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but I'll share this story. I was invited to this church service maybe about, supposed to be at 3:30, and we got out of regular service one Sunday. And I typed in, all I knew was the name of the church. I typed in the name of this church, and my church is in Dallas, and the church that I was hoping going to, on the internet, it was saying it's in Pleasant Grove. So I drove down there to Pleasant Grove. I couldn't find the street. I'm up here driving. And I say about 45 minutes later, I found the address, but it was in an abandoned building. It was like a daycare. And I'm like, this is the address. And I'm looking at the time now. It's almost 4 o'clock. I said, man, I might need to just go on home. But in my spirit, I just kept hearing, no, you need to find that church. You need to find that church. There's a purpose to you being at the church. I said, God, I don't know where that church is. You're going to have to lead me to where that church is. And God told me to leave Pleasant Grove to go back to my church in Dallas. So that was an extra 30 minutes. So I drove, made it back to my church, and God said, now, I want you to listen to me. I'm going to be your GPS system. I said, okay. God told me to turn on this street. Turn on that street. And I was headed towards my daddy's house. And I'm up here driving. I'm like, okay, God, you want me to come down here? I'm driving and driving, and the street curved. And so all of a sudden, when the street curved, my steering wheel started turning to the left. And when it turned to the left, it landed on this field. And on this field, there was a building. And I looked at the building. It was the church. I looked at the sign, and in small print, it said the name of the church that I was looking for. I said, whoa, and there were people leaving out. I'm like, am I late now? It's like maybe 5, maybe 5:30, and the program supposedly started either at 3 or 3:30, one or the other. And so I saw the people leaving out. I said, excuse me, is service over with? They said, no, they got started late. And I walked up in there, and come to find out, one of the ministers that was going to be speaking, he was sick. He had West Nile virus. I think that's what he had. This was years ago. And we prayed for him. And then they had me to have words at the end. And I said, Lord, first of all, just for God to lead me to a place I've never been. And I'm telling you, when you trust God, God will give you specific directions for where you need to be at. God will give you specific instructions to fulfill the purpose, the plan, or the task that he has for you. I'm telling you from firsthand experience. Yeah, I know some people, well, you know, that stuff happened in the Bible. No, no, it's happening right now. I'll never forget. And this is me. Years ago, I heard about how Joseph told the king not just the meaning of the dream, but God told him the dream too. In other words, God gave Joseph the spirit or the words of knowledge. That's a gift. God gave Joseph the word of knowledge. And if God can give Joseph the word of knowledge, God can give you the word of knowledge or the prophetic word to give to you of what you need to do to fulfill the task at hand. So many times we read the stories in the Bible and we just look at it as stories, but not application. God wants you to trust him in every area of your life. But like I said, yeah, the devil going to try to throw these booby traps to discourage you. But I want you to know you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you or who enables you or who gives you the ability. But how bad do you want it? So many times we wait upon other people when God said, no, sometimes you got to go for yourself. And sometimes you got to go by yourself. But you have to be, Lord have mercy, you got to be okay with being alone. See, so many people, we're looking for a Batman and Robin series when God wants a Superman or Superwoman series. In other words, instead of you relying to have somebody, how about you realize you already got somebody and go forward? You got to go. But you got to do what God tells you to do. But I found out you will not be at peace until you obey what God told you to do. I don't care how you try to compromise. I don't care how you try to plea bargain. If God told you to do something, don't you know it's for your best interest? He has your best interest at heart. But I found out peace requires your obedience. And that's in any area of your life. If you want healing, don't you know you can't be healed walking in disobedience? You can't receive peace walking in disobedience. You can't develop trust while you're walking in disobedience. How can you think God can trust you while you're walking in disobedience? I'm telling you, why negotiate? Just do it. Oh, my God. Oh, okay. That's it. Do it. Don't you know oftentimes we take more time fighting God than obeying God? We pull our hairs talking to God, trying to negotiate with God for 3 hours on a two-minute assignment or something that would have been 2 minutes. You think about the Israelites. It could have took them a couple of days' journey, but because of their disobedience, it took them 40 years. And not only did it take them 40 years, but only a few of the original people that went in on the journey, actually made it to the promised land. In other words, because of their disobedience, because of them listening to the negative reports, and they received that negative report. Yeah, you can hear things, but you don't have to receive everything. But those that receive it, you know what happened? Hey, they died in the wilderness. But I'm speaking to you. You can make it out of the wilderness into the promised land. But making it to the promised land requires your obedience to God. Obedience to God and also obedience to yourself. God wants you to make it. God wants you healed. God wants you delivered. God wants you set free. God wants you healed and whole. But your healing and wholeness requires your obedience. In spite of how you feel, God requires your obedience. Think about the lady with the issue of blood. She proclaimed her healing. But when she proclaimed her healing, she walked through the process of receiving her healing. If I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She said it. And after she said it, she demonstrated what she said. Are you demonstrating what God said or what God told you to say? Are you demonstrating what you're praying for God for? What you're praying about? So I want to encourage you. Yes, there are times. Yeah, if this fight, it may take all that we have, but we're going to win at the end. But you got to fight. Put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor. And don't be scared. Yeah, remember, yeah, we may see some familiar faces. We may see some faces that may have hurt us, that may have disappointed us. But also think about this. I think about the scripture that says, he prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. But also what I found out, sometimes what's so hurtful is when we see the table that's already for our enemies, the table that's spread out in front of our enemies, so many times we think it's our friends that's going to be sitting beside us, and come to find out it's our, they actually in the seat of our enemies. And we like, hey, why are they sitting there? Why are they sitting there? Don't you know that table that is prepared for you has assigned seating? So when you see your quote-unquote friends sitting in the seat of your enemy, don't get discouraged. God will just reveal to you that they weren't for you all along. All the time you thought that they had your back. No. They will stab you in the back. But don't get discouraged, because God wants you to focus on the table instead of focus on your enemy. God wants you to know, you know what? Yes, this right here, this might be hurtful. It might be heartbreaking, but no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Don't be discouraged because the people that you've seen in the enemy's seat are the ones that you helped along the way. Those that you took in, those that you loved on, those that you thought that they were your ride or die, they were your homeboy or your homegirl. Don't be discouraged. Don't you know your purpose is greater than your pain? The devil tried to make you focus on your pain, but God wants you to focus on your promise. Like I said last week, when I found out, the greater your pain, the closer your promise. The greater the pain, the closer your promise. God wants you to trust him in every area of your life. Don't be discouraged. Fight. But knowing that when you fight, you will win. You're not fighting for nothing. You're fighting for something. But also realizing when you are fighting, when you go into the ring, you're using God's tactic. You're using God's gloves. You're using God's techniques. You just follow the script of what he trained you to do, and you will be victorious. And it don't have to take long. Remember, it is written. It is written. Everything that Jesus told Satan during the time of temptation, he said, it is written. And that's what made him victorious. He did not submit to what the devil trying to compromise him with. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You recite what God said and you demonstrate it with your life. I want to encourage you right now. Yes, it may seem like these times right now are just crazy. It may seem like right now, it may seem like, man, you may feel all alone. You may feel like you don't know what to do. But what I'm finding out, we're going to trust God in spite of. It ain't our responsibility to find out what we're going to do. It's God's responsibility to fulfill what he's going to have for us to do. Yeah. So I want to tell you, what I'm finding out, and this is fresh out the press, yes, you're going to have some people that's going to lie on you. You're going to have some people that's going to try to discourage you. You're going to have some people that's going to try to scandalize your name. But you know what you do? And I'm going to tell you, just in case those who may be watching, because I know there are some people that may be watching me, and what I found out, yeah, I got some people that talk about me and all this other. So don't think everybody loves Brother Prater. But what I found out, Some people, when you are anointed for an assignment and they may not fulfill their assignment, sometimes they may talk about those who may be doing something. But I want to tell you, and even for those who may be watching, maybe talking about me, hey, I still love you. Yeah, still praying for you. Yeah. But I want to tell you, I don't care who may try to talk about you. I want you to pray for those who try to use you, try to talk about you, who may try to scandalize your name. You pray for them. And also, don't try to retaliate. It don't mean you any good to try to pay back evil for evil. No. Your assignment, your calling is too important for you to stop the assignment that God has for you to try to deal with this mess. No, that ain't your responsibility. That's God's responsibility. But I always tell people, you got to be careful who you put your mouth on. Yeah, I don't care what you talk about a person, what you say about a person. Remember this, you don't know who you're dealing with. And also, my thing is so many, is especially in the battle of Christ, it's so much jealousy, it's so much this, so much that going on. And we got people that are up here that needing the word of God, people that need counseling, people that need deliverance, people that need to be saved or delivered or set free. And all of a sudden, instead of them trying to help somebody, trying to minister to someone, they want to talk about the ministers. They want to talk about somebody who is doing something. But in case you're one of those that's being talked about, continue to let them talk about you. I'm learning. Continue to let them talk about you. You still pray for them. But you know what? That's letting you know that the devil trying to distract you because there is something important over here. Yeah. So with that, for any and everybody who ever talked about me, for anybody that have ever lied on me, I can say some names, but I'm not. What I found out, every time I've had that to happen, and this is something I'm telling y'all fresh off the press, every time I've had that to happen, you know what God has told me? He's broadening your audience for ministering. To remind myself of that, he's broadening your audience for ministering. Because I'm going to tell you something. I can tell you about hurt. I can tell you about disappointments. I can tell you about these things. That's why when I share and when I talk to people, yeah, I can tell you from experience, but also I'm telling you what God can do. Yeah. So, yes, a lot of things I may share with y'all. Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm very passionate about what I do for God. And I'm passionate about my love for God and love for God's people. But what I found out, yeah, there's going to be some people, I don't care who you are, there's going to be some people that just don't like you. But that's not your problem. It's not your problem to make somebody like you. Just remember, if they don't love you, that's between them and God. You have to understand and be okay with people not liking you. Now, it's one thing for you to do something that's causing them not to like you. Hey, That's one thing. But some people, you know, there are some people that might be offended because I got a gold tooth. I've had this gold tooth since I was 16 years old. But there are some people, I can't stand him with that gold tooth. He's supposed to be a preacher. I've had this since I was 16 years old. So that means it's 36 years old, I believe. 36 years? 36, yeah. 36 years. Yeah, and I go to the dentist regularly, and it's still in good condition. Yeah. But, yeah, some people, yeah, well, he bald-headed. And I'm saying to myself, oh, this, see, some people, they trying to conjure up some type of allegation of why they don't like you. Don't, you ain't got time to be dealing with that. I don't have time to deal with that. I don't. I'm a busy person, but you should be busy also. And if everybody was taking care of their business, which is God's business, and leave other people's business alone, then we would see the church full. Then we would see people operating in the gifts and the purpose that God has for them. But as long as they're not busy doing what God tells them to do, then their nose is somebody else's business. So, like I say, for those that talk about you, for those that, you know, scandalize your name, those that are jealous or whatever like that, hey, pray for them, keep on going. You know, if they really say they love you, some people, oh, I love, if they really love you, they'll call you. Yeah. So, you know, I pray for them, and it's so much I can say, but what I'm learning, yeah, I'm learning that my relationship with God and the purpose that God has for me is so important. But also, there are real people that are out there, and I see them all the time, that generally love, generally care, and that'll help. I appreciate y'all, and I want you to be encouraged, because sometimes it is frustrating. It is lonely being able to try to do this, and you need help, but the people that you're expecting to help you are the ones trying to hurt you. But just remember, you're not doing this for them. You're doing this for him. Let God be your source. Don't worry about the resources. You just think about the source. Allow God to be your help. Allow God to be your guide. So I want to encourage you. Also, I don't want to say his name, because I don't want to put it on, but he represents so many other guys. So many other guys that may have been detached from their child. These fathers, yeah, every man ain't no criminal. Every man, every father ain't no bad father. Every father who may be trying to love their daughter, love their son, love their children, yeah, the media, they highlight these fathers who may not be doing what they're supposed to. But just because they're not doing what they're supposed to, that does not mean that no guy out there doing what they're supposed to. I want to encourage that father, and I have a classmate of mine, and I'm going to inbox him. I don't want to say his name. I love him dearly. I love him. But I have a friend of mine. I want to encourage as a father. He's doing all he can, and we've had some private conversations in the past. I want to encourage my classmate. Man, I love you, and I'm proud of the man that you are. I'm proud of the father that you are. And I wish that there were other fathers that would come together to help and support. And I would love for us to be able to have organizations where we can have attorneys on staff. We can have counselors on staff to be able to help these fathers. Even to be able to have the funds to have the attorney's fees waived for these type of fathers, but them get the legal assistance that they need for the sake of their child. Even for the counselors to have all the fees, you know, paid for these fathers to receive the counseling that they need. And also even to have these counseling sessions for the father and the children. Yes. Yeah, so I like to look at different things. And yeah, I might make a video pertaining to, you know, this is for the single women, but I'm not omitting the single fathers. Or I may have about the single father. I'm not omitting the single women. I like to zero in on specific things. And yes, there may be something I may not be speaking about right now, but doesn't mean that I won't be speaking about it in the future. And the thing is, if it fits you, then thank God. If it don't fit you, then I know some people, well, you know, it go both ways. I don't want to hear that. I may talk to the men right here. The next day I may talk to the women right there. But I want to encourage those fathers. Yes, I want them fathers. I want you. I'm looking at you. I want you to keep fighting for your child. I'm praying that God gave you the resources, because God is the source, the resources for you to have the things that you need for you to get victory, even in the courtroom. Yes, all the negative words that were said, you know, from the child's mother or whatever, I'm praying that God give you victory, and also for your child to know the truth of who their daddy really is. I mean, the integrity of their father. Yes. Yeah, I want you to hold your head up. Don't allow anything or anybody make you feel less than a man, make you feel less than a father. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to know, yes, you might have been frustrated. Your back might have been against the wall. It may seem like the lawyers and the courts are always attacking you, going against you and everything, but I'm telling you, you continue to trust God. Victory is nearby. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to hold your head up. I want you to write down notes. And I want you to, when you go to bed, I want you to go to bed with a pen and paper. So when you wake up from that dream or from that vision God gave you, I want you to write down every instruction that God gave you. I don't care if you seem like, well, I don't know why I dreamed about this. You write it down. Because God may be ministering to you in your sleep because you're too busy in your daytime. Allow God to minister to you and give you the specific instruction that you need for you to get the answer that you need for you and your children. God can give you victory and silence every noise the devil try to throw at you. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to continue to reach out to your child. And I want you to log everything down. I want you to log down everything. Log down everything. I don't care how long you've been doing it. Continue to do it. That way your child knows that daddy been thinking about them all this time. But also, you're going to be able to help and minister to your child. So that way they won't be hating the mother. Yes, I know that sound like, well, you know, she talking about me. Look here. You don't act like the devil. You demonstrate Christ in the midst of this crisis. And that way you give God room to come in, because ultimately, if you don't do it God's way and you allow that bitterness to take root, then what's going to happen, you may end up having a daughter just like her mother. And if you don't want that, then you do what you're supposed to allow God to intervene in that situation. Allow God to come in and intervene. Yes, like I said, I can say some things on both sides, but I want to say specifically to the men. So, ladies, please don't get offended and say, well, you know, you need to say something about me. Look here. If you look at not just my previous posts or my previous podcast, even some of my other posts, I've talked about everything. So, yes, tonight I want to speak to that father. I want to speak to the men. Yeah, you come back next week, I may switch and talk about to the women. And so the men don't be, you know, getting on me on that. But I want to talk to the fathers. Talk to the fathers. You keep your head up. I want you to pray right now. Matter of fact, even while you may not have your child right now, but I want you to be praying for your seed. Pray for your seed. Pray for your seed. And every chance you get, pray in the spirit for your child. Also, continue to reach out. If you can't do it physically, as far as seeing them, then you video chat, you text, get you a phone, do whatever you have to do. And I'm telling you, when you do what God tells you to do, matter of fact, ask God for these specific instructions on how to do it, what to do. Let God do it. Look here. You can't go wrong. So just in case you may be watching and you don't know, you've been hearing about me talking about, you know, Jesus and everything, and you're not saved, I want to tell you, being saved ain't hard. Most people, they may not be saved. Most people, they may be saved. But there are some other people, a category of people, that we don't talk about. They're called seekers. They know that there's a higher power, there's a higher being. But I want to introduce you to Jesus, because Jesus died for you. Jesus, the Son of God, died for you, born of a Virgin Mary. You know, he lived this life. He was fully God and fully man at the same time. What do I mean by that? Think about this. You have your father. You have your mother. How much percentage of you do you have of your mother? How much percentage of your father do you have in you? Do you have 50% of your mother and 50% of your father? If you have 50% of your mother and 50% of your father, that means half of the people that's related to your father is related to you, and the other half ain't. So you don't have 50% of your mother, 50% of your father. You have 100% of your mother and 100% of your father. So Jesus, being fully God, look, fully God, God the Father, his son, only begotten son, meaning unique son. So he was fully God because of his father and fully man because of his mother. And he became the perfect sacrifice for while you. He physically died, and 3 days later rose from the dead. And when we accept him as Lord and Savior in our life, when we accept him into our life, then the Holy Spirit lives and dwells in us. And we can have eternal life with God Almighty. So, yes, you don't have to wait till next Sunday to go to church. You can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right now. Romans 10:9 tells us that thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ as thy Savior and believe in thy heart God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can confess it right now. And then also there's a growing process. Yeah, and I know some people, well, you know, you ain't saved unless you do. Listen. That's when people try to get into legalism. They try to put these criterias on salvation. You accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then also, like I said, understand there's a growing process. You know, accepting Jesus Christ as your personal, accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, look, when you accept him, you are removed from the penalty of sin, because the penalty of sin is death. You're delivered from the penalty of sin. But then there's a second phase, the power or the influence of sin. God can help you to overcome whatever hang up that you may have. As long as you're living on this earth, you're going to always be in the presence of sin, influence of sin, but God can help you override that. He can empower you. You know, the filling of the Holy Ghost simply means, look, controlled by the Holy Ghost. And then when this life is over, we'll be removed from the presence of sin. So like I said, just in case you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, great. But just in case you have not, I would advise you, do not go another hour, another day, another minute without accepting Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and fulfill the purpose and plan he has for you. So whatever situation you may be dealing with, Know that there's nothing too hard for him. He can help you in every area of your life. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness. We come to you right now, God, we acknowledge your presence on today. So, God, we come to you right now, God, ask God to help us in every area of our lives right now. Help us, God, to be the men and ladies you call for us to be, God. Help us right now, God, to be ready, God, to fight, Bill, God. Be ready to fight right now, God, because we know, God, that we're not fighting alone. So, God, we ask you for the strength, for the courage, God, to give us the courage that we need to get into the ring, God. Help us, God, to demonstrate, God, obedience to you, God. Help us, God, to demonstrate, God, what it is to be a believer, God. Help us, God, to demonstrate, God, what you want us to do right now. In the name of Jesus, and we bind everything the devil stands for, we cancel the devil's assignment right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you right now, God, for victory. We thank you, Lord, for the joy and the peace that you have given us, God. Thank you right now, God, for everything you've done, God. And God, we speak right now, God. Even those who may feel discouraged, God, even those who may feel abandoned, God, God, help them to know, God, that they're not alone, God. You are there with them, God, and for them, God. God, we know, God, if you be for us, there's no one can be against us, God. Even if the whole world is against us, God, we know, God, that we can still, God, overcome whatever, God, because you are by our side. So, God, we ask you to help us right now, God. Encourage those who may be watching, Lord, or listening, God. Encourage their heart. Encourage their mind right now, God. God, those who may feel like giving up, God. God, we speak it right now, God, that you speak to them, God, and help them to hold on, God, to your unchanging hand right now. In the name of Jesus, God, help us, God, to have that song of Zion, God, the song of triumph, God. Help us right now, God, to have those songs embedded in our spirit for us to sing that's going to help us, God, in every area of our lives, God. Encourage us and remind us of who we are, but most importantly, whose we are, God. In the name of Jesus, help us right now, God, to sing the songs of victory, the songs of worship, the songs of your character and your nature right now. In the name of Jesus, and Lord, we thank you right now, God, for the joy, God. We thank you, for the peace that surpasses all understanding. God, we thank you right now, God, even for my healing right now, God. Not just the physical healing, but the emotional healing, the mental healing, the spiritual healing, the financial healing in every area of my life right now, God. And I thank you, God, even for those who may be watching or listening, God. God, we speak it right now, God, that you continue, God, to hold their head up right now. In the name of Jesus, wipe every tear from their eye right now. In the name of Jesus, I'm seeing right now, even that frustration spirit, God. Even those that may be frustrated, God, those who may be frustrated in what they, doing well in their well doing, God, God, help them right now, God, to hold on, God. Help them right now, God, to not give in, God, not compromise, God, who they are right now, God. Help them not to compromise, God, the promises that you have given them, God. Help them, God, to be reassured, God, if they wait and trust on you, God, you will change and turn things around right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now, God, for everything you've done, God. And God, we speak right now, God, for those that are bereaved, God. God, we speak right now, God, that you comfort them right now, God. Be with them right now, God. God, we speaking, God, that even for those who may be even in the midst of the grief, God, even with the family dissension, God, let there be peace right now, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we speaking right now, God, continue to comfort their heart and comfort their mind right now. In the name of Jesus, God, we even speaking, God, that you end the bickering and like the fighting, the infighting right now. In the name of Jesus, God, let cooler heads prevail, God. Let there be wisdom, God. God, we speak, God, even for somebody coming in and interpret, God, even the misunderstanding, God. God, we thank you right now, God, for the testimony coming from this, God. We thank you, Lord, even for working everything out right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we trust in you in the name of Jesus. Even if we can't trace you, but, God, we know, God, the evidence in the past has shown that you have never lost a case. So, God, we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen, amen, amen. I thank y'all for tuning in and watching me. If y'all want to get in contact with me, my name is Brother Prater, Brother, pray to Piers and Paul, R-A, Tears and Tom, E-R. You can see me on my Facebook page under Brother Prater. You will see my daily devotions and my videos. Also, you can go to my website or my app. I have a mobile app. It's available on Android or Apple, and it's free. No charge. So, you know, you can go on there and you'll see my daily devotions, my videos, limit everything. Also, you can go to the store section of my website or my app where you can purchase my book, A Few Good Men, A Path to God of Fatherhood. A Few Good Men was written to inform men their needs and their responsibility towards their parents, their children, or their children's mother. My second book, The Girl Who Was Her Brother's Keeper, The Love Beyond Life, is a story pertaining to the journey of my sister and I life. You know, I lost her due to domestic violence. And so I want people to know that, yes, domestic violence is real and never feel like it can't happen to you. And also for those who may be in a toxic relationship, look here, fight in spite of your fears. Get help. Get help. You don't have to stay in there. You don't have to stay in there. And don't ever take them for granted. I don't care if you're a female that's in a domestic violence situation or a male that's in a domestic violence situation. Don't ever feel like, well, you know, they just angry. Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. You can't predict what a person may do in the heat of the moment. If you're in that situation, I would advise you to get help and get out immediately. And don't allow pride or shame to make you feel embarrassed. Don't do that. So I want to encourage you. Please get out. So I thank y'all for watching Reconnect My Heart podcast. I pray that there was something that was said that may minister to you. So thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to Reconnect My Heart podcast. God bless you and good night.